I've been really impressed by you. I'm just a subject that you all know this well, but I want to encourage you about the importance of the Word of God and laying hold on it. So let me just give you some scriptures. And I think I'll start out probably with Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to encourage you to be in the Word all you can. I know none of you are in the Word as much as you want to be, probably. But I hope you'll keep trying. You know, I'm always pushing you, always prodding you. I'm going to keep on doing that as long as I'm alive. Have a sound mind. I'm going to always try to stir you up. You might be constantly in the Word of God. I've been busy this week, but I've been done the best I could every day to be in the Word. I've done some studying already for my sermon for next week, but not as much as I want to, but hoping to get a lot done. But even when I've had to be busy doing things, I've tried my best to have my mind in the Word of God, so I'm trying to practice what I preach. Like today, I had to do quite a bit of stuff I didn't really want to do, but I had to do it, so I just memorized quite a bit in Psalm 19, also Psalm 121, and also wound up 1 Timothy. Every money that I had spare, I try to do something like that. So I just want to encourage you. And one thing you could do, either memorize a lot, like I try to do. If some of you don't like to do that, but you ought to do some of it anyway. But I want to give you another suggestion that's a practical way. When you're reading your Bible, ask God to show you something that you can really stick with you that day. And maybe write that one verse down on a card or something like that and carry it with you. And God will speak to you that way. You know, I wish you'd do something like that. The devil does everything he can to try to keep us away from the Word of God. And I was talking to a young man who was in Russia for a while. In fact, he's one of the men that's going to be going with us if we go to Russia. The Lord bless us to go. We're planning on going in July. Eric Winchell. And it kind of reminded me of how the devil works. The communists, he said, they don't want people to think, because if they think, they might rebel against the government. They don't, so they want to keep them where they don't think. So there's two techniques they use. They've used more than that, I'm certain. But two things that really struck me, and it gets some spiritual application. Now, one of it is they make them stand in line a long time. He said a lot of those shortages are really caused by the inefficiency of socialism. But sometimes they have artificial shortages on purpose, because if people are standing in line to get a loaf of bread for 5 or 6 hours, they haven't got time to think much. They're just they're frustrated. They're trying to. So the devil, I know, try to get us on all kinds of things like that, on frustrating activities, even something that's legitimate, to keep us from really thinking about God. And then another thing that they do, he said it's amazing how cheap that vodka is. And they make, even though they make vodka cheap on purpose, he said that he saw guys going to work in the morning, and they sell them these little bitty, it's kind of like a little cup with a cellophane on it, like saran wrap, and they drink that vodka really cheap. And people are about half stoned when they get to work, and they drink all day long, and they drink it. And what they're doing, they did that on purpose, because they know if you're about half tight, you really can't think very much. You're not going to rebel against the government. Well, the devil, as you know, tried to get us drunk on everything, not just on some substance like that, but on just the worldliness and stuff like that, just be too busy. So let me read you just a few scriptures. This won't be anything that you don't already know, but I feel really that I can exhort you tonight. Well, first of all, Hebrews chapter 2. This is something you could probably quote this verse with me. But he's talking about the importance of the Word of God and the superiority of God to everything else. And so he says this. And we all try some techniques to do this. Any kind of technique you can. I'm trying, even at my age, even though I've been going to church a long time, been preaching a long time, I'm still always trying to find new ways to help me to pay more attention to God's Word. I hope I'll die doing that. I hope I'll die trying to. And I pray for Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby's in his 70s, and we've been praying here every Tuesday morning since about 1987. And so this, I'm not trying to embarrass you, Brother Bobby, but we had a good time this last Tuesday morning. And on the way out the door, we were talking about a topic, and he started quoting something from 2 Thessalonians, some brand new stuff that he'd been memorizing. And you could tell he really had a hold of his soul. And so I'm sure when he gets to the pulpit, he's going to be able to preach a good sermon on that. And even before he gets to the pulpit, it's putting iron in his blood. So I appreciate your example, Brother Bobby. You know, some men might say, well, I've preached all my life, I know a lot of the Bible, so I'm just going to kind of coast a little bit. But here he is trying to memorize the Word of God. I know others of you do the same. So I just want to encourage you in that. And we ought to do everything we can to grab a hold of the Word of God and just hold on to the Word of God. All we possibly can is taking notes or listening to tapes. And I don't want to weary you, because I know that sometimes it's better not to even take notes during a sermon. Sometimes you don't just sit there and listen to it and enjoy it. So I'm not saying you're going to school every time you come to church. But I think you ought to always be alert. There may be something God showed you, even if you don't take extensive notes. Some people have a habit of taking extensive notes. That's a good habit. I'm not saying everybody even ought to do that. Not everybody's suited to do that, perhaps. Sometimes I don't take notes. I do most of the time. Sometimes I say, you know, this is so good, I'm just going to enjoy this. And maybe I get a tape letter or something like that. Sometimes I want to write down the points, but I'll forever get them. But we got so many different ways that we can really lay hold of the Word of God. I've read about a lot of great men in the past that, like Matthew Henry, for instance, who was a good commentator, and his daddy, Philip Henry, both of them had just extensive systems where they took notes on sermons, and they had just all, and the way they filed them and stuff, they could find them, stuff like that, even that's back in the 16, 1700s. So anyway, let's get some scripture on this, and I hope this will inspire you tonight to do something, maybe encourage you a little bit, even if you, well, you have been doing. Look at Hebrews 2. Let's go to quite a few scriptures tonight. I won't belabor the point, but I do want to make the point go home. And maybe get a hold of something tonight anyway. Lay hold of something tonight. Grab something and take it home with you. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And he talked about how we really ought to pay attention to God's word. And I think most of you do that. I really think you do. But I don't think any of us are can say we've arrived. I believe you're serious about the Word of God, but I hope we can even get more serious about the Word of God. Therefore, he says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? I'm going to keep reading because he even puts more teeth in it as we go further. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So there's a danger of letting the Word of God slip, going one ear and out the other. She said, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Some of y'all like to do word studies. Do a word study on this. Some of you boys that like to study words and you like to do the Greek and stuff and even get into a Bible dictionary, that's a powerful verse right there. And then he tells why we ought to do that, because what he's going to be saying here is that the New Testament even is even more enlightening than the Old Testament was. That's what he's going to be saying here. And he's going to say if they in the old days neglected God's word and were punished for it, we're a lot more liable today because we know a lot more. We live in a superior age than the Old Testament. So he really put some teeth in this thing. Let's read that now. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Then he talks about the Old Testament. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and he means here the Ten Commandments, because if you'll compare this with Acts chapter 7, which I won't do that, but that's not my point. But the law was given by the dispensation of angels. Somehow or another on Mount Sinai, I don't know what happened up there. We don't know. We know Moses went on Mount Sinai. He met God face to face. God gave him the Ten Commandments, but somehow angels were involved in that. If you read Acts chapter 7, you'll see that, compare scripture to scripture. This is what he's talking about here. If the Old Testament, which really the basis of the Old Testament, the core of it was the Ten Commandments, the whole Old Testament he means here, obviously. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Because it's pretty harsh under the Old Testament. But if that's true, if those people in the old days did not obey God's word, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And he mentions the New Testament revelation here, which is a wonderful thing. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So what he's really saying here is, let's give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, let them slip. The more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them slip. Because if the Old Testament saints suffered because they didn't obey God's word, we're going to even be more liable because we have the New Testament. That's what he's saying there. All right, let's go now to, I want to go to three or four places. Let's go to James. And I want to just read a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 18. And I want you all to ask me to preach on this sometime. Sometime remind me to preach on verse 18. Verse 18 is a verse that some people think teaches gospel regeneration, but does not teach gospel regeneration. It teaches conversion. Brother Jimmy Barber wrote a real good article on this one time, and a man named Robert Decker from the Prophet Reformed Church wrote a great article on this, and I got to study what those men said, and I agree with them on this. But I don't want to get, that's not really what I'm talking about, but I mentioned that. Let's begin, we're going to read James 1, 18 through the rest of the chapter. It's just a unit. It fits in well with what we're talking about. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. And that word begat there, the only time it's mentioned two times in the New Testament, this particular word, it always means come to birth. It never means conception. The word in John 3, 8 sometimes means conception. This word gonao. We get the word gonads from it. But this word, literally, it means never conception. It always means to be brought to birth. So the analogy is regeneration would be to the Holy Spirit. That would be the conception in this case here. And then that life that God put in you by regeneration, life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. It's a great verse. So let's read, though. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if that's the truth, And look at the context here. This verse 19 could stand on its own, but I was amazed a long time ago when I say, hey, this is an amazing context, because the context is listening to the Word of God. So that's what verse 19, let's look at that in that light here. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I'm going to put this in for parentheses as you're looking to the Word of God. I'm going to say that because I'm taking liberty there, but I think that's in the text there. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I'm going to say as you hear the Word of God, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In other words, come to church wanting to hear. It reminds me of Acts chapter 17. The brethren at Berea were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. Why? What they do? Remember? They receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And then they search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. But they receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. In other words, we ought to want to come to church wanting to hear. Now, that doesn't mean we're gullible. Not at all. We're going to examine it to see if it's consistent with the rest of the Word of God. Let me quote that verse in Acts again. You know it. They received the Word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures whether they think they're so. But the point is they came with a readiness of mind. They didn't come with a built-in resistance. You know, we may come to church with a chip on our shoulder. And we may come to church and be easy to get mad just because the preacher didn't say it just like we wanted him to, something like that. Or we want to talk back to the preacher. We don't literally talk back to him, but we may be in our mind, you're wrong about that. Well, he said, don't have that attitude. He's not saying, don't be gullible, but want to believe what he's saying unless there's somewhere you shouldn't believe it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Because I'm always kidding the school kids. I say, God gave us two ears and one mouth because we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. But y'all act like y'all got two mouths and one ear sometimes. But maybe church members, maybe we ought all think about that a little bit. I don't know. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart. Now, this is wonderful. This is all one unit here, this subject. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's saving the gospel. That's engrafted word. But then he's going to say, look, but just listening to it's not enough. That's not enough. When we come to church or when we read the Bible, we all say, Lord, I wish you'd show me something that I could put to practice in my life here. I don't want to just be a theoretical hearer of the Word of God. I actually want to be an obeyer of the Word of God. Because he keeps on going, he said, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, it likens to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Here's a man who looked in the mirror and he saw what he looked like, then he forgot about what he looked like after he left the mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is nowhere in the Bible, that's the Bible. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he's in the Bible constantly, every day, trying to let it mold his life. I'll read you a verse from Colossians that says that in a minute in a different way, but it's a great, wonderful way it said it. So let's put ourselves in here. Let's ask God to help us to do this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then he gives two examples, a negative example and a positive example of what he's talking about obeying the Word of God. One's a negative example. Somebody, it's actually doing something wrong. This means that one of them, you're doing something wrong, one of them, you're neglecting something. I'll put it that way. A sin of omission, a sin of commission. Here's the sin here of commission. First, you commit a sin. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Here's a man who thinks he knows it all, but he can't keep his mouth shut, and he doesn't bridle his tongue. And so he said, that man's religion is vain. He may think he's really serving God, but really his religion is vain. It's empty. God's not recognizing that. But then he has a sin of omission. We leave something off. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're leaving something off there if we're not ministering to God's children who would be in the category of the fatherless and the widows. And also, I'm keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. So I think that's a great, great text. All right, let's go to two or three more places. We go to Colossians 3:16, a great verse. Colossians 3:16. And this is a good word picture here. You can grab a hold of this. I think you'll like this. That's what I mean by trying to. If we study the Bible, say, Lord, help me as I study the Bible. Bring it home to me. Let there be something that molds my life. I'll do things like this just to give you some examples from my own life. And sometimes I'll admit, I just do it. If I didn't do what I'm doing, I'd even be worse than I am now. I'm not telling you I do this perfectly. I got a tendency to have a sharp tone, even to my dear wife. And so I'm trying hard. If we're 76 years of marriage, I think I'm doing better. But I'm serious about this. I'll come over there, and I'll be reading over in Peter about chapter 3, verse 7, and I'll write that on a card and carry it with me. Sometime I got the card, my pocket still messed up, I'll be frank with you, because I get this in there. But at least I'm doing something. I'm trying. And I thank God, please call. I'm trying. He said, husband, love your wife according to knowledge and all that kind of sort of thing. Or husband, love your wife, be not bitter against them, like I said in the Colossian letter. Or there may be something else I'm working on. And I'll write it down. That way I believe God pleased when you actually try to get his word. And if you don't carry around some mechanical way, at least carry it in your heart and mind. Do your own method, whatever it takes, to get the more earnest heed. But over in Colossians 3:16, this is a wonderful verse. And it also, if we are doing this, we're going to be helping other people. Not only will it be useful to ourselves, we'll be helping other people. We'll be useful Christian. And we want to be useful Christian. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Isn't that great? Let it dwell. It's living inside of you. Not just in your head. Not just a superficial knowledge. And meditation had a lot to do with this. I want to talk about meditation, not tonight, but sometime I do want to talk about meditation. This is very important. We're thinking about the Word of God. We're running through our mind. We're trying to make applications. We're comparing Scripture to Scripture. We're spending some time in the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We're praying for God to give us wisdom as we do this. And if we do this, look what he's saying. We're going to be helping other people. He said, teaching and admonishing one another. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's probably a worship context, but I don't think it's confined just to worship. We're letting the Word of God. In other words, when we're with somebody, if I'm with my brothers and sisters, you know, and in fact, I tell you what, I'm convicted of something. I tend to be pretty silly. I enjoy life. I have a lot of fun with school kids and all that. And I had a real serious talk with a couple of boys there and really had a good time. I believe I had an effect on them. But sometimes I'm too silly with them. And so I've been trying to, instead of being silly all the time, is to look for opportunities to reach their heart. And I did today. I know I did. We had a real serious talk about some important things that boys all think about. And I'm glad we did that. But sometime I blow it and we just have a big old hoo-ha. And I'm not against having fun. I'm going to keep on having fun unless the Lord strike me dead probably until I die. I guess I will. But, and I don't think it's wrong to have fun if you don't care too far. But I still say we ought to look for opportunities to build each other up and to let the Word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom. Then we're going to teach and admonish each other. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our heart to the Lord. All right, let's go now to my New Testament scripture. My last one, then we'll go to the Old Testament, if you'll bear with me here. And I've got a psalm I'll read to you that means a lot to me. The parable of the sower is in Matthew 13. Someday I want to preach a whole sermon on the parable of the sower. I believe in the parable of the sower. I'll tell you what the basic lesson is. But then I'm going to make an application to all of us. I really believe, and all our forefathers believe this. You get out R.H. Pittman's book, or just about anybody you can get from Old Baptist past, and they believe it this way. All the debaters did, like Lemuel Potter, people like that. The parable of the sower, the people who were born again there, in my opinion, were the people who were the good ground. Their ground was made good by the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit, different amounts of fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. That's a standard interpretation among Old Baptists to just the last maybe 60, 70 years. A lot of them don't believe that anymore. But most of them in the old days did believe that. And I think that's what the Scriptures teach. But I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm not even interested in getting involved in that. I am going to say, even though I believe that, we can still make application to our lives. It's because all this effort, the lesson of the parable of the sower is, how are we hearing the Word of God? And what are we doing about it? That's the whole lesson. And do we have opposition whether we do this? And we do have opposition. Like the Russians, keeping them drunk, making them stand in a line where they can't think for themselves. The devil wants to do the same thing to you and me with the Word of God. And you know we live in a world increasingly becoming frenzied and ungodly and being bombarded. So we've all got to make more conscious effort than ever before. And I think that's why I appreciate you parents for these kids. You don't know what you're doing. You have no idea the value of what you're doing to these young people. Because even these kids, while we're laughing and having a good time up here, the Word's getting in their heart. It's getting in their mind anyway. God put it in their heart is what our hope would be. And so we need to become more and more Word-oriented. We're going to have to become more and more Word-oriented as the world gets increasingly wicked. So let's look at this now. I'm just going to read the explanation, not the parable of the sower itself, but the explanation the Lord Jesus Christ gave of it in Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 18. And let's think about ourselves. Even though I think these are unregenerates that didn't receive the Word right, but we can act like unregenerates. We can act like unregenerates, and we do sometimes act like we're unregenerates. In fact, we've got a sinful nature that we don't lose when we're born again. So we can be in this thing also. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that scripture? I know you do. I'm not trying to insult you. I know you're Bible believers. So this is the Savior talking, by the way. So what do we got? What do we get out of that? The wicked one is trying to snatch the word out of our heart. You think he comes to church? I believe he comes to church, don't you? You believe he's there when you're reading your Bibles? When you're hearing the sermon, you know he is. He's got to be here. So we got to be careful. We got to find ways that the wicked will not snatch that out of my heart. Because he's here. If we believe that. In fact, if I want to preach on that Sunday, if I get that far, on the whole armor of God, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Against the principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness of this world, stuff like that. So when we come to church, we got to believe we're having to put our mind to it. It's a spiritual battle we're in because the wicked one's going to try to snatch you away. That's the one that fell by the wayside. Let's keep reading. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, where it's just a little bit of dirt, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He likes what he hears. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. This is somebody who just won't stick it out because when the going gets rough, they're going to renounce the word of God. Now, we might can do that too. Even born-again people can do that to an extent. Not to the same way a reprobate would, but we can do that. We can kind of begin to, you know, at least temporarily put ourselves at an arm distance from the word of God if it's going to cause us trouble like that at work. Maybe we want to witness to somebody or we want to stand up against some kind of evil, but we just know we're going to catch some opprobrium if we do that, so we just won't do it. So we've all been there. Anybody very old here, if you had a failure like that, I've had my failures like that. All right. Now, this is one that's very striking. Very striking. Verse 22. He also that receiveth, that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Now get this. This is amazing where the Holy Spirit says this. Now notice this. I know we can fall into this category. Look. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. The cares of this world. We all got them, haven't we? You've got them tonight. I'm glad hope you can leave them at the door when you come to the house of God. I hope we can do that. Sometimes we come to church so worried about things, we can't even enjoy the service. We ought to try not to do that. We all have a mental picture. I'm going to leave that on the front door. I can pick it up on the way out. Don't even pick it up. You don't have to. But, you know, it'd be better to leave it there. So help me to come to the house of God. We may hear the very answer we need anyway, or receive the encouragement we need to be able to bear that anyway. But we do have cares. He also that received the word among the thorns, and he that heareth the word in the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. How about that? The deceitfulness of riches. That's the deceitfulness of riches. Riches we think will bring us satisfaction, but they won't. Lasting satisfaction, but we think they will. So the deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But then, here's what we want to do. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. We've got to have to work here to put our mind to this thing. We're obligated to put our mind to it. You know you're obligated to serve God with your mind, aren't you? It's kind of hard sometimes to use our mind. We need to come to church with trying to use our mind because God requires that. And he said we ought to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind. It's one of the things he said we ought to love the Lord with. So we ought to do the best we can to do that. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 30, some 60. Some people may bring forth different amounts of fruit. And then sometime in our life, we may bring forth more than others. There may be time I may be on 30-fold, and sometime I may be bringing forth 100-fold. But the word of God will come help me bring the fruit, though. Now, I'm going to close. We're going to Psalm 19. I've been memorizing this today. One of my favorite Psalms. And every time I get into it, I get enthused all over again. And I'm going to read all 14 verses and not take too long. I'll read you 14 verses here. And this is divided into two sections, this psalm is. And I used to not understand what made the thing tick, but I think I've got it figured out. It looks like it's two different subjects, this psalm. One of them is talking about God's revelation and creation. And then the last part talking about God's word, his revelation and his word. And here's what I think's happening, there's a lot of about that creation, a lot about creation. In fact, I hope tonight that you can think again, we serve a great creator God. Because the Lord wants us to think about that a lot. He really does. That's why evolution is so bad. Because God wants us to think about it. If he can make this world, this universe, he can do anything. Well, here's what I think is happening in verse 1 through 6. I think that he's establishing the credibility of the author of the word of God. He said, look, this natural universe is glorifying God. It's showing his incredible power and his wisdom. And it's talking to us. It's talking to us. We ought to listen to it talk to us. It's talking. He's saying it's talking to us. So therefore, if that's true, then we have every reason to listen to what he's saying in his scripture-rated word. See, when I was in graduate school, and I stayed with the graduate school, now history, I used to memorize book titles. I don't worry about book titles anymore. They taught me, look, you worry about authors. You don't worry about titles. You worry about authors. If A.J. B. Taylor wrote a good book, everything he wrote is going to be probably good. You look for A.J. B. Taylor's book. You look for William F. Langer, some guy I remember. That's the guys. So you look for bibliography. You look for authors. That's what's important, not the catchy title of the book. Well, so he's going to establish the credibility of the author. He's going to say, listen, if our God made this world and this universe and is talking to us, we see his wisdom. When we come to his word, let's listen with open ears because the author is incredible. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read that now. I'll read the first six verses first and we'll get the idea. The author is establishing his credibility. All right? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That firmament is the heavenly firmament up there where the stars and all that are. Day unto day uttereth speech. All day is talking to us. The universe is talking to us. The sun rising and setting, all that. The days, the seasons, the tilt of the earth. And some of you know a lot more astronomy than others do. But anyway, it's amazing what all is going on in this world we live in. So day unto day uttereth speech. Night into the night showeth knowledge. Isn't that amazing that the Lord talking to us continually and many people are not listening to him? They're listeners don't even listen to him. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we don't listen as much as we should. He's talking to us all the time. He's talking to us all the time. Day and day uttereth speech, night into night uttereth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everywhere this is universal, God talking to people. There's no excuse for anyone to not believe in a creator God. Romans 1 makes that plain also. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Like the sun's in a tabernacle, like the sun's traveling across the heavens, he's personifying the sun here. Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. So he gives us six verses, kind of a little summary, talking about God's tremendous revelation of himself in creation. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Now he's going to come to the word of God. And I won't make a comment on every one of these, but let's look at them anyway. He's going to use six terms to describe the word of God and tell what all the word of God does. And then we're going to, well, at the end of that, he'll tell more what the word of God does, how valuable it is. This is really compact, but so powerful. Look at this. You know this. We even sing this song sometimes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. He calls the word of God the law of the Lord there. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You might want to take some time to meditate on all this sometime and see what all he's saying. He's converting the soul and think about what all he's saying here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We get wisdom from God's word. Wisdom on how to live, young people, old people, everybody. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If we really come to the word of God with the right attitude, and we're going to rejoice our hearts. It's going to give us true satisfaction. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord, even calling the word of God the fear of the Lord there. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now look what he's going to say. All these figures of speech he used to describe the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yet much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Isn't that a powerful verse? It's amazing to me how the God wrote the Bible. Isn't it? It's the wealth and the pleasure of both right here in this one verse. And we need to work on that. I'll confess to you, it's not always that way with me. It is a lot of times, but sometimes I have to make myself read the Word of God. But I ought to never be satisfied with that mode. And sometimes because I haven't spent enough time in it. I'll just tell you this. It's almost invariably, the longer I spend in it, the better I get the feeling. You know, I get cold sometimes, so I'll maybe stay away from the Word for a day or so, and then get back into it. My carnal nature doesn't want me to get back in there. But then when I do get back into it and make myself get into it, if you stay in it long enough, you're going to start liking it. You're going to start wanting to study some other places. You're going to start run references and stuff like that, and it's going to mean a lot more to you. So we need to spend time in God's Word. But anyway, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yet than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, you think the Lord really meant that? You know he did. I'm just saying that. You mean to tell me, and I'll be, gold is really good stuff. What it'll buy is just great. We all need some gold. But he said the word of God, and I'll tell you tonight, if you do love God's word, we ought to be thankful tonight because we are blessed to be born again and we can comprehend the Word of God. And people who are not born again can't even comprehend it. It doesn't mean a thing to them. They don't even like the Word of God. So if we can love the Word of God tonight, how thankful we should be. More to be desired than gold, yet a much fine gold. And I say, young people, let me tell you something. The older I get, the more glad I am I have studied the Bible and I've memorized scriptures. And I wish I'd done twice as much, and I'm serious about that. I can even remember certain scenes when I memorized certain scriptures. I remember one time even when Bro Carter still alive, Bobby, and I was memorizing Philippians over in the parking lot at Bluff City Buick. I remember some verses I learned over there. I can remember certain scenes where I was when I first began to memorize certain scriptures. And about the time I have spent in it, I'm glad. I wish I'd even spent more. You young people all listen to me, and you ought to work hard at the Word of God. We ought to all do that. The older people are not too late for you either. But we ought to do that. Then he says this in verse 11, a powerful verse. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And we are, because we need to be warned, because there are lots of dangers out there, because the devil is a deceiver. You know, he lied in ambush. The devil lied in ambush. He's deceiving us. And so, if we're not in the Word of God, we may make some bad mistakes almost before we know we've made them. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, get this, and in keeping of them, the great reward. Have you ever thought, well, you know, let's don't get too serious about the Bible. After I got a lot of other stuff, I need to look at some video games. Spend about five times as much as that, or ten as I did in the Word of God. It's not that all important. And the devil will tell us that. Well, you know, it's okay. We like the Bible, but as far as getting really excited about it, it's not that useful, is it? There's certainly some other things more important than that. That's not what this verse says. In keeping of them, there's great reward. Every time I memorize that verse again, that just hits me. In keeping of them, there's great reward. Isn't that great? Great reward in keeping them, the statutes of God. Then verse 12, 13, 14. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He means here, not something you're trying to sweep under the rug, something you're not even aware of yourself, it's wrong. He said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. We have secret faults, things we're not even aware they're wrong. And so then we say, God, show me where I'm wrong. And the Word of God will do that sometime. We're ready to say, you know, my, I didn't recognize my attitude had been wrong on this. You know, I've been held this grudge in good, gracious life. The Lord, the only thing he repeats in the Lord's Prayer is the one about forgiveness. And that's the truth. The only one he repeats about forgiveness. If we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Lots of times I've read this, I forgot about that. How important that is. I cannot hold this grudge. I've been holding it for a week now. Somebody didn't do me right, but I've got to get rid of this grudge. I've got to work on this now, or something like that. So who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Then, look at this next one. It's a great prayer. Because we are all, by nature, rebels, and we sometimes do things we know are not right. And we sometimes stubbornly persist in sin. And we can't get trapped in that kind of sin and can't quit, which is we're still responsible for it. Because it may be a habit like some drug or something, or some bad physical habit. It may be something else. It may be pornography, people getting caught up in stuff like that. It may be jealousy. It may be unforgiveness. It may be self-righteousness. That may be one of the worst of all. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then that great last verse, talk about how comprehensive the effect the Word of God should have on us. Every part of our life, thought life, attitudes, actions, everything. So it's a prayer. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable. Where? In thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.